You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's The Americans After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's The Americans After Show.
Bing is for doing, and we are here at AfterBuzz TV doing another episode of The Americans for you. Action-packed episode called Trust Me. This is episode 6, season 1. I am your host, Lauren Leonelli.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Golden.
And hello, I'm Joe Braswell.
Hello, all. We had a really intense episode.
Yes.
Yes.
We always talk about the emotionality of the episode and then, like, the spy adventure action-packed side, and both sides were super intense tonight.
I screamed out loud.
So did Jen.
I jumped. I had anxiety. I couldn't watch at certain points. I was like, no, don't do that.
Right. You
get out of here. So that happened tonight.
What we did.
Yes. I missed that. Yeah, she jumped. I yelled at the screen like a black brother, like I did.
Oh, you're like, you're one of those black guys.
I am. I was
yelling
at the screen.
No, go the other
way! Yeah. It happened.
I did that too, but I'm also black as well. So.
Right.
Me too.
Yes.
I loved that about this. I love that, like, suspense that they... I mean, there's always a little suspense, but this time it was on par. It was...
The whole episode, the whole way through.
Totally.
From start to finish.
And then they would do, like, you know, Philip got caught, and then Elizabeth right after, and then the kids, and then everybody was just like...
And then Nina.
Everybody was, like, at a really big turning point in the story.
Yeah, they're really ratcheting up the tension, and the stakes are getting higher, which is... We talked about this when we were watching it. It's only episode 6.
Yeah.
So it's like, we know they got picked up for season 2.
Yes.
And we know we're, like, midway through season 1. Like, how... This is really on, like, homeland pace for
what we're
seeing.
We're like, what's going to happen next? Between now and then, what else is going to happen?
Well, right. I think that is just a testament to the really good writing and acting and storytelling that's happening here. Because
Emmys for everyone.
That's what you said, too.
Emmys all around.
Yeah. Emmys all around for the whole crew. They really, at any point, I feel like for an average show, these episodes in their own right could be like season-ending cliffhangers, and they're just episodes.
Right.
Yeah.
The whole thing is heightened.
Totally. Like, at any second, you're like, this could keep me waiting, like, months until the next season.
Right. I mean, I'll take it one step further. I feel like each of these episodes almost work on their own as, like...
A story.
If you expand each of these episodes out into a movie, like, you can do, like, a 2-hour movie on each of these episodes.
Totally.
They're involved.
Filled with so much stuff, and that's what I think is so great about shows like this and Homeland, where there's other, you know, like hour-long dramas or other TV shows where there's one storyline that is kind of stretching through the whole arc of the story, or sometimes not the whole season, but at least through 3 or 4 episodes.
Right.
Sort of soap opera-ish. This, or like a show like Homeland, which everyone just dies over because it just it's like an addiction.
Yeah.
And this is on that path, I think. They give you so much in one episode. They're all freestanding, but then they somehow tie them all together as well. It's just great, genius story writing, in my opinion.
They keep you coming back.
Yeah. It's really hard to do. I mean, it's getting harder and harder to do these serialized dramas these days.
Right.
I mean, for a while, that was all the rave. All, you know, Damages was hot, and it was really super serialized, and then, you know, Lost, of course.
Yes.
But it got really difficult because people weren't able to follow the stories or jump in. You have to, you know, follow the seasons. But this is a really good job of, you know, keeping these sort of episodes contained, but then, like you said, like, you know, they're weaving in, you know, serialized elements throughout the whole show, and even it works completely as a serialized show as well. So, I mean, I'm completely hooked 6 episodes in.
I am so hooked. This episode was like my favorite one so far, and I like that FX also gave us that little
mini marathon. I was gonna say that.
Yeah,
got a lot of people caught up.
Mm-hmm. Just in case you needed to go over details or you haven't seen, but I think you can kind of still jump in at any point if any of you viewers or listeners haven't seen other episodes. Like,
you can catch up now.
You can catch up now.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
But I feel like you're probably not as lost as you think you might be. And also, each episode has some stuff in it that feels confusing, but this is the kind of show where you need to just, like, let go and have some patience, because it's not that you're not getting it, or in my opinion, because we all say that. We're like, what's going on now? Wait, hold on. Did I miss
every
something?
Week, yeah.
But happens is they end up explaining it to you really well.
Yeah. It unfolds.
It unfolds, but don't give up or think that you're missing something. I say just hang in there and watch it, because you're going to feel satisfied at the end.
Some of our viewers and listeners actually wrote that, you know, we had to watch the episode a couple times to pick up on some of the things that, like, we've also commented. We're like, what was that? In that box, you know, people miss things, and that's the joy of digital television. You can go back and rewatch it.
I watch every episode twice. I watch it with you guys, and then we'll do the show, and I'll go back and I'll watch it again, and there's always stuff that I missed. I'm like,
oh my God.
So you jump alone in your room?
I do. I'm just alone. Even though I already know what's happening, I still jump. But I also want to say that, you know, one of the things that, just going back to Homeland, because we do a lot of Homeland comparisons there. One of the things that, Alex Ganza, the Homeland creator, talked about is the last thing as a storyteller you really have is to, you know, we're as viewers, we're all smart. We all kind of know where things are going. We kind of sense, like, oh, this must be this, or this is going to happen.
You really knew tonight.
Well, I was kind of,
Joe was on it tonight. Well, we'll talk about that, too.
But
he's like, no. Oh, keep going, please.
please.
He's like, I actually knew the exact episode.
We called a couple things, too.
And you did.
Did we?
Yeah.
Oh, we did.
But we can't say the only thing he has left as a storyteller is to be able to make things happen sooner than you think they're going to happen.
Yes.
So, like, you know that Brody was going to be exposed, but you do that, like, in episode 3, and then what do you go? And so that's kind of what we're feeling here. There's a lot of things that you kind of know what was going to happen, but they're doing it sooner.
So you're wondering, where the heck are they going with this?
Because we're only six episodes in.
Right. That's the cool part, because now we'll see that there's a lot more detail coming. And when they get the, like, big stuff out of the way, now we can see, like, the nitty-gritty of everything.
Totally.
So, like, for instance, how they're spying and they've got these new people involved, like Grandma and, you know.
Claudia.
Margo Martindale.
Instagram. we're going to see how that unfolds.
Instagram.
We've been talking about, you know. Right, exactly. Hashtag Instagram.
Ma.
We've been talking about how they can't trust each other. You know?
Philip and Elizabeth.
Right.
Let's talk about them.
And also, you know, they can't trust their own kind. Because
those kind.
Those people.
But it's just going to be more interesting to see how the life of a spy really unfolds.
Well, Philip and Elizabeth, they have this crazy ebb and flow that we have been noticing and talking about. And I like that now it's like the tables are turning a little. This episode, we see Elizabeth going for the kiss before she leaves in the beginning. We see Elizabeth getting a little jealous about Philip doing his job and asking for a piece of jewelry so that he could kind of cover up with Martha. And we see, you know, we see her, I think, falling for him. Well, I don't know. I mean, it's in her own way, because she's still very, like, eye on the prize spy tech. But we see her, like, starting to become a little more emotional about him.
Absolutely.
Well, I think one of the things they established is that, you know, Elizabeth is who she is, right? From the beginning, she's a spy first, she's country first, she's
and when you forget,
robot.
They tell you again.
Right. Yeah. Elizabeth has been well established as who she is. And I think what we're seeing is her start to fall in love, like, within that character, within the confines of that character. She's
of
not really
her,
breaking
yeah, of
character.
Course, of course.
Like, she's always going to be what she is, but
that's
within
it, yeah.
that, she's starting to melt a little bit. And you see when she leans in for the kiss, it's a big freaking deal.
Because
it's like,
deal.
Elizabeth doesn't do that. Or, you know, when you see her, even that little scene last week when she got a little mad at Philip for palling around with Stan, the look she was giving, the subtle looks like, oh.
In the car, yeah.
Little racquetball, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's great writing, though, to be so consistent the whole way through.
And great acting.
It's like absurd acting. I can't even speak.
It's that good.
I'm malfunctioning. But it is that good. but to see the writing and how they portray these characters, everything is just so fluid and organic and makes sense. It's just like a brilliant show, like Homeland. That's how we always compare it.
Yeah.
But They blow my mind.
I completely agree. And we had another amazing scene with Philip and Elizabeth here.
Yeah, we had a couple. We had a couple of really good Philip and Elizabeth confrontations.
The one that's sticking out in my mind, I'm sure there's other in particular right now, I'm thinking of right after they got out of their test, their KGB test, which we'll go into.
Right.
They're always in the street when they have these emotional conversations.
They are so always in the street or an alleyway or like near a car or something. What is that about? And it dawned on Philip that Elizabeth may have leaked some information to their people about him liking America too much.
Which is why they then did this test.
Yes.
Because they don't trust them. And that's the theme of the episode is trust.
Trust me.
Right. Yeah. So,
that scene, though, was like really powerful because... Philip, I mean...
Well, that started from the beginning when he was making that call to Martha and he got kidnapped from the phone booth.
Yeah.
And we first thought they were CIA and they said they were CIA, right?
No, I thought it was implied that they were CIA.
Yeah, because we didn't...
And we hadn't met them before, so we thought that.
And we didn't think that they were FBI because then we
know
knew that the FBI was not in on any of this knowledge or they weren't letting us in that they were in, so it didn't seem like that. But we just see Keri Russell... fighting for her life and her house. And then we watch her kick the living crap out of Grandma. I mean, I'm just saying, from an audience standpoint and watching Keri Russell on Mickey Mouse Club in Felicity and watching her be like this cute girl, I love watching her kick butt. And I've said this before, but she went like ape shiz crazy on that lady.
Yeah. Something you always talk about is like the eye choices, like the looks people give as an acting choice. Yeah. You can see crazy behind the eyes. I mean, that's not something you can necessarily fake because your eyes are your eyes and that usually your truth comes out.
So you're calling her crazy? You're calling Keri Russell crazy?
I don't know. Maybe she's got some like repressed anger up in there.
There's definitely some cray back there.
She went.
Or she's just the best actor because you can see her just fight for everything.
Oh,
it's like,
she snapped and like punched her in the face like 10 times and was like, show them your face. That's my whatever. That's me saying. What did she say?
Yeah, she was exactly.
That's from me.
That's from me.
The exact line which I think I threw away was show them your face.
Show them your face.
That's your proof, whatever it was. But just backing up slightly, you know, getting into that whole scene, how that thing unfolded. I mean, well, you know, just working backwards a little bit, I completely agree. That was probably one of the most shocking moments I've seen on TV all year.
But you also knew it, too.
Yeah, but I mean, in terms of just what Keri Russell ended up doing, I mean, Keri Russell, Margot Martindale thing,
which
I want to talk about a little more on its own, but that, you know, in and of itself was one of the most shocking things I'd seen. That's when I started yelling, like, oh, what?
We were all doing that. Yeah. It was like we were watching Pacquiao.
I was in pain for her. I was like, no, make it stop. She's going crazy. She's going to kill her.
But I did want to just, you know, back to the whole, you know, how they were, you know, what we felt when they got kidnapped and, you know, seeing Philip initially, you know, play that role when he first got kidnapped, he was in character like, you know, hey, what? I don't know. What are you doing here?
We have to interject for a second, though, because we always poke fun at their dumb disguises.
Right. The wig and the glasses.
The wig and the glasses was like, okay, all right. So I think it was just a little funny. Maybe you guys at home are feeling the same way, but they're like, Philip, and he's like, I'm Clark.
And then
they took his glasses off and were like, oh, there he is. We didn't even recognize.
Exactly.
Oh, it is Philip. Shoot.
He's like, how do you recognize me?
I didn't recognize him until the wig was taken off.
And then it was like,
then I was like, oh,
cover is blown.
Right.
No, but I just think, anyway, but yes, that was all very intense. And I do have to say, I'm going to give Joe a little credit. He's like, oh, I think right around then, or even a little bit before that, you were like, this is a test.
When they were going to like cut her, slit her throat or something like that.
When they got her in the room, for me, I was thinking like back to the old Alex Ganza Homeland School. Like, wow, they're really going in. Like, how can they get exposed episode 6? Like, how can this?
Right. And then we were talking about that. We're like, where are they going to go from here?
Yeah.
But then once they put Keri Russell into the room with all of her kids, and I noticed that they were had all those photos, and they had all the passports. I'm like, wait a minute, they have too much. Like, no one they have way too much.
And that makes sense because if they did in fact have all that stuff, they'd be just taken out. They wouldn't be torn. Well, maybe maybe they would be to get information, but I just...
It would have happened a long time ago. We didn't need 30 pictures. We had 20 already,
yeah,
you know?
It feels like it was just a little too much, you know?
Right.
Like an orgy of evidence there. And
this,
like,
this show, you know. And then again, we'll keep on this, but I just want to say, as a viewer watching the show, I mean, here at AfterBuzz, we really like study every show. We're paying attention. We're talking about it in detail.
Right.
It's not like we're just sitting at home on our couch, like, sipping a glass of wine if you're of age,
right,
watching the show. We're paying attention to as much detail as we can. Granted, we might miss some things. That's what you guys are here for, too, the audience, to remind us. But this is the type of show where I think it's a fabulous, you can just sit back and watch and enjoy, but it's also like great to sit and dissect every piece, because that's why, like, that would have been explained eventually, but we're so on the edge of our seats,
right,
going, okay, wait, we need to figure this out, because we're in that mindset here, so we can talk about the show after and bring you guys all the info. So I think it's interesting to know that this show, it's for all audiences, basically. You know what I mean? Like, they have something for everybody, and this is another example. Like, you can just watch a show and relax, or you can sit and dissect it and really figure things out. But it's still hard to be a step ahead of the story and what's happening. Like, I was surprised that you, because I was like, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
They're done. They're discovered.
Well, I am brilliant.
That's true.
You are. You're a spy.
There's that. You know.
You are a spy. So.
No, but it was that. That was a tell for me when I saw the photos. But still, you know, to see once, you know, and also I you know, Margot Martindale, grandma, Instagrandma, like she, there's always been something, an undercurrent of sinister about her. We've talked about that, and
totally
we just haven't
agree.
Really seen it yet. And I kind of felt like,
well, we saw it when she offed that woman and said that she was going to actually just send her away.
But who else kind of liked that Carrie Russell's character, Elizabeth, kicked the crap out of her?
Well, yeah.
Maybe you felt like, okay, shoot, they just put them through all this torture. Like, this is their own kind. But why? I'm questioning why I felt like I wanted that to happen. Like, yeah, get her, get her.
Because you're rooting for Carrie Russell.
Yeah, they've stepped beyond the protagonist.
But you would have thought, though, that Carrie Russell, Elizabeth, keep calling her Carrie Russell, like we're BFFs.
It's all right.
You are.
She, KK. Carrie, KK. we would think maybe, because she's so a KGB for life.
Right.
She's probably got KGB for life tattooed on her stomach.
Like, not thug life, but
not
KGB
the, no,
life.
But like Tupac style, even though that was before his time. But anyway, I feel like she might have been like, okay, you know what? That sucked. I get it, though. This is part of it. Like,
that's how I felt
you
about
know what
it.
I'm saying?
I was more indifferent about the whole thing because I was like, you know what? This is the job.
I'm surprised that she didn't. I mean, look, she took getting raped when she was in Russia and all the other BS that they have to go through, getting ripped away from her home and friends and family or whatever she had in Russia to be put in this house with this strange man and live this life. Like, basically give her entire life up to this spy game.
Right.
This one thing is, like, just a bump in the road. Like,
I disagree. I think this one thing is all... Why it was so significant for Carrie Russell, why we saw her crack, I think, is because this is all she has. This really gets to the core of her belief system. Because for Carrie Russell, like you said, you know, the husband thing, that's real. Maybe it's not, whatever. The kids, okay, I love the kids, whatever. But the job, and the country and the job. And then when the country and the job betray you, it's two things there. First of all, the country and the job betray you. The second thing is that these are the only people who you really believe in, and you're doing all you can to be the best soldier you can be, and they're questioning you.
Right.
Like, that, I think that's what you saw.
Right.
Like,
but
how
also,
dare you?
At the same time, and I do agree with
I
that.
I agree.
But at the same time, she did just shoot somebody in broad daylight who was possibly going to reveal their sources. They had to test them, so they didn't have to shoot them.
Right.
You know? So they didn't test the, like, what do they call him? The whimpering guy or the shaky guy?
Yeah.
They just killed him. So they had to test them.
Jitters.
Right. Jitters. Or what were they going to do? This is just, I think,
that's what I'm saying. You know what? I completely agree with you, Joe. I think it was obviously what happened to them was very extreme and I'm sure traumatizing. And I'm not, like, super surprised by her reaction. I'm just saying it's also possible that it feels like she's sacrificed so much. Yes, I'm sure mentally it's disturbing to think the only people that she's living for don't trust her.
Right.
But
I think
she
was being a human in that moment
and
versus a soldier.
And she never is that way. That's another human moment, a humanizing moment that we see Elizabeth in. And yeah, I mean, I it makes sense what you're saying, Joe. I'm just saying why she could have very well also been like, okay, that sucks. But, you know, I feel like, though, let me just say this. I don't know that she, I mean, I think she's a little worried about you know, who she's fighting for and the country and the KGB not trusting her. But I think it's much more concentrated on Margot Martindale's character, yeah, on Claudia. And that's why she kicked the crap out of her, because it wasn't just like, oh, everybody, you know, F everybody. It was like, you know what, you, and she questioned her, you and the head of everyone just said Zhukov, you could do this. Zhukov said, yeah, you could do this. I think she questioned that and was... And I still question that Claudia may not have gotten approval for this.
I don't think she
did. Oh, no. There's no doubt that you she guys, did yeah, not. Don't, yeah. I don't think so. Well, actually, she said in the room that this goes way above Zhukov.
Like, but I don't believe that.
Right. You know. She didn't say who it went to.
I think we're going to find out stuff about Claudia.
Well, and sure.
We didn't trust her from the beginning, but they obviously wanted us not to.
We definitely haven't heard the last. So Claudia's going to be pissed after this thing.
I know
so
what's going
to
happen.
See, we'll see
an internal war.
But back to just back to the Philip and Elizabeth thing. I think that you're seeing, you know, for Elizabeth, for both of them in that moment, like what they know, what's interesting about that turn of events is when what this did as a story device is what they both know has been shaken completely, right?
Yeah.
So you see Elizabeth kind of going on this path of I'm falling in love, but I'm still true to my country.
Mm-hmm.
What she knows about her country and the people who she believed in and what she believed in was shaken. They didn't trust her. So she was like, oh my God. And then Philip was left down along this line of the only thing I really have is Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's the only thing I really have. And he found out that he can't trust her.
Exactly.
So we have this, you know, we keep going back and forth, mm-hmm, with these seismic shifts, but they happen in dramatic fashion, which is why we see these giant blow-ups, you know.
Exactly.
That frankly, Reese does a fantastic job.
Oh, my God.
He kills it every time with those.
So
you
good.
Know? My heart goes out to him when he's yelling and screaming and, I trusted you, and, you know, whatever he's doing.
You could
he's
see teeth
it.
On that one. He was like a rabid dog.
Oh, man.
I mean, it was intense.
Yeah.
This whole episode was intense, but
I was actually sitting there, and part of my anxiety throughout the episode was like, there were various things, but one of them was the fact that they signed up for a job where you really can't trust anyone.
Right.
And all they have to do is trust. They have to blindly trust, but they can't trust anyone because everyone's in disguise or pretending to be someone else or doesn't have an accent or is trained not to, or they're trained to lie or trained to read your lie. Like, they didn't even know that those people were their own.
Right.
Why didn't they know that? Because they're trained. There's so many lies and deception. But you are
that's
a spy.
Right.
You
yeah.
signed up for this gig.
Right.
You married
that's
somebody.
What I'm saying.
That's a lie.
That's what I'm saying. So when someone comes and tests you, you know, because that's the name of the game. There's a mole, and we need to do whatever we can to figure this out.
Right.
I mean.
But they should know protocol because they know what their protocol is if they're captured, let's say.
Well, right. I know, but
they should know other protocol, like to be
they
tested.
They should, but there's always stuff, like
right.
even in Homeland, there's always stuff that Brody doesn't know. Like
right.
Abu Nazir and his people are doing stuff that not even, or that we don't think that Brody knows.
Right.
Like we're
right.
led to believe that. This is the same thing here. I think that there's stuff.
Or same
that,
with Estes, CIA. Like,
exactly.
He was doing stuff with the sniper.
R.I.P.
Anyway.
But we are
R.I.P.
Oh, so sad. But
anyway,
I'm just saying,
we digress.
I know. I agree, though. I think that there's levels. There's different levels of who knows what
right.
within
right.
the KGB, and that's
of
what
course.
That's what makes. I mean, you know. That's what makes it so good to watch. Too.
But also, it's good to, like, for these two characters, it's really just about all we have is each other and the
mm-hmm.
country. And both of those things in this episode have been questioned for them. So
oh, yeah.
you can see how this moves forward. And I just want to say, just back to the Margot Martindale ass whooping. I mean, look, I mean, this is, you were talking about, I think Carrie Russell with this character is. You know, she's taken this character to an entirely new level because I know exactly who Elizabeth is. And at a certain point, what would Elizabeth do if she was betrayed? And that's exactly what she'll
she
do.
Would do.
I don't care if it's an old lady. I don't care
oh,
if
yeah.
it's whoever it is.
That's what
matter.
I said when she
and,
fell. I was like, that is an old woman.
Oh, right. I was like, who cares?
It went to two different levels.
She was
levels
like a sack of potatoes.
The first level was, I'm going to jump behind and dunk you. Like, how do you like it being dunked? I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right, get her. And then he pulled her up and then she slapped her. And I'm like, oh, then she hit her. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, we got your point. Carrie, we got your point, Elizabeth.
I feel like she must have tiny fists.
And then she jumped on top of her and started beating the shit
and
out of her.
I swear, I counted like 10 blows to the face.
Right.
I mean, I'm surprised she wasn't knocked the hell out.
The
after
stakes
that.
Kept getting raised. I was like, oh, yeah, you dunk her in the
she
water.
She snapped.
Right.
She snapped.
She definitely
yeah.
snapped. So that was really
what,
shocking.
I think
a great sequence.
And I think that it's completely, like we said, Jen and I, you know, hey, this is the name, this is part of the game. You're a spy.
Yeah.
There's a mole. Hey, deal with it. But also, I don't disagree with her character snapping and doing
oh.
that.
No,
because
show
clearly,
him your face.
She would like. I mean, come on. You're. That's her. That's her life, and her love is her country. So clearly, I could see how she would just flip
yeah.
the hell out. But I liked that fight scene.
It was great. Well,
not gonna lie.
So needless to say, you know, Elizabeth is off on it. She's really confused, and Matthew Reese is really confused. So.
Oh, and they ended up. I mean, we to tie it up with them. you know, she we saw a little jealousy out of her mm-hmm. when he had to go finish his job with Martha.
Yep.
And she didn't want to give that piece of jewelry away. Yes. And he's just like not giving in. I'm surprised that there wasn't a moment where she showed a little like, you know, hey, I'm sorry. And he was like, okay, fine. Because right. I feel like he always kind of folds with her.
Right.
But, you know, here she was just like, you know, I trust these people. And, you know, she's trying to explain herself. And he just slammed the door in her face like, yeah, well, big mistake on your part.
Yeah.
And just and that's how they left them two. So we saw a little role reversal here.
Yeah.
This episode. And we have an unresolved issue with that. Yeah, a big unresolved issue.
It's a giant seismic shift. And
yeah.
Again, I think that's completely true to Carrie Russell's character. Well, I mean, in that, like, there's some vulnerability there. She wants his attention. But you saw that the evidence of the seismic shift is like, I got a job to do. You have any jewelry? Whatever you got. And then she, you know, doubled down and said, well, take this.
And I think that he, I will say, I think that they're playing a little tit for tat game, too.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Because
of course.
He definitely could have, you know,
gone tomorrow.
Gone and done something else or given her flowers or who knows what on his way. But no, he did that to piss her off and he pushed her button to see if she cared and she let him know that he does. It's interesting to watch them do that because they did that a couple of times, but we're definitely left with them just torn apart. He's sleeping on the couch. She's in the room. Like the seismic shift, like you said, Joe, of the ebb and flow of their relationship.
Yep.
She's a total like polar opposite.
And she went to see Gregory, which I think we all
and that,
collectively thought that that was going to be a tit for tat thing, where like
so
she was going to like make a move because he went out to his girl.
Yep.
But she actually only asked him to watch out for
but
the family.
Or Gregory. Gregory was ready too.
He was
I know.
A pawn.
He
was
like,
cigarette
very fast. Yeah,
he,
like quick draw on the cigarettes.
And she insinuated a couple of things with her words, you know?
Oh, yeah.
She was a little sexually, mm-hmm. you know, she was flirty a little bit. But
to quit old habits.
Hard
yeah.
to quit old habits. I think that that is, you know, he's going to watch over her. Mm-hmm. So there could be, she could use him as a pawn, like in the next episode or so. We'll see. But anyway.
He's not going anywhere.
Speaking of pawns, poor Nina. Poor Nina.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Well, poor Nina. But
she's pretty.
She's really pretty, but talk
I don't think
about
she's that pretty actually.
What? You're a liar. I was like, hold on.
I was like, drinking. Joe, are you here?
She's all right.
She is a big time pawn.
Yeah.
And she feels so trapped and freaked out because she has to listen to she has to have sex with Vasily, and then she has to listen to him talk about how they're going to put a bullet in the mole's head, and she's like freaking out.
Yep.
So she goes to Stan, like desperate, and. Oh, Stan. What do we aim? I mean, Stan is just... Maybe Stan and Carrie Russell need to get together because they are just, like, so all about their jobs,
well,
right?
Well, I think that was a very... You know, this is a second relationship, you know, that is growing. I think it was very interesting. I think I learned a lot about Stan in this episode because he did a lot here. He went out on a limb to sort of save
huge.
Nina. And
that was, by the way, to interrupt you for a second, that was totally him. Like,
he
did not have a meeting with anybody.
No.
Like, I'm going to do this, guys. Trust me. No, he, like... He could have completely, if somebody was listening on that line or something,
right.
he could have completely exposed the whole thing and been found out somehow. Who knows? But he took a huge risk doing that.
I think he's also been to this rodeo before.
Right.
He 100% probably knows. Has. But he took a huge risk doing that, and we all know why.
Well, which is good to see because Stan.
That other guy was in on it.
Right. Well, no, I don't think he was the head, the FBI head.
Yeah.
No, I don't think he knew about
that.
He
didn't know.
He knew about some of it. I'm saying specifically about, sorry, I need to be more specific. I'm talking about Stan making those calls to the Russian embassy, asking for Vasil, planting those things. I think that was all Stan, no?
Yeah, absolutely. The way I read it was 100% Stan. I think that, I can't remember, Richard, the FBI chief, Richard, what's his name? But he did not know. I think that what that thing you saw at the end was, look, someone, they found the mole, mm-hmm. and it's this guy. He's mm-hmm. on a plane, mm-hmm. so that's that.
But mm-hmm. he did say he needs to have those diamonds
But I don't think he knew what for.
Didn't he say it was for his informant, or something about his informant being...
I think that they know, they give Stan, clearly he has, you know, he's at a very high level, and I think they give him allegiance to do what he feels fit.
Right, he knows his jurisdiction, so...
I think he does, and I think he wasn't doing anything that he wasn't supposed to. I'm just saying, I think he knew he was taking a really big leap of faith in that one, and he may have been teetering on the is this something I should really be doing borderline,
I think Stan definitely took this matter into his own hands. I'm not saying that it was, you know, illegal. I mean, obviously, he has a lot of latitude, a lot of autonomy, but he did not tell his boss what the diamonds are for. In fact, his boss said something, oh, I'm going to tell your wife that they're blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't know. I think this was a solo operation done by Stan to get Nina safe.
This was like Carrie in Homeland.
Sure, exactly.
He went Carrie. Oh, yeah. He went a little Carrie.
A little rogue. And what I like about this specifically is, you know, I mean, I'm really starting to root for Stan in this relationship. I like about this because he made a promise to her and he kept it, right?
Yes.
So there's a moment there where he's like, oh, don't worry, I promise. I
was kind of going, say
is
that,
he just, you know, is he working her?
Well, we talked about that.
Right.
And we talked about, just to, again, to interject, and I think you're going to agree with me, Jen, I hate when people say that.
That's usually the dun-dun-dun.
I hate when people in real life or in TV movies especially say, don't worry about it, that's not going to happen.
Because if you don't have a crystal ball, you don't know 100%, and you're making promises you can't keep.
Or when people go like, I would never do that. It's like,
really? Don't say never.
Never say never, Justin Bieber. I'm just saying, it makes me mad when people say that. When he said that to her, I'm going, oh, she's going to die. That's what it's making
Absolutely.
Me think.
That's what it made me.
It was foreshadowing.
That's where I was going a couple of episodes ago. I'm like, oh, Nina's not going to make it.
Yeah.
I think that was one of my predictions, actually.
Yeah.
I think she was going to make it based on that, because it felt like it was going to the sort of Shakespearean tragedy.
Totally.
However, I do love that, you know, Stan made the promise.
He followed through.
He was able to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
He ensured that it happened himself.
Oh, yeah.
Ran a little solo op
yep.
to make sure it happened, you know, and it worked all his contacts. And for love, he accomplished two goals there. Number one, he A, kept his promise and kept Nina safe, and B, stopped her from having to get with your boy Vaselli. So I'm sure, which I'm sure he. Which
I am sorry, but.
How'd that go? I wasn't sure exactly.
They graduated from blowjobs to the sex, as Jen the Jew likes to call it.
Yeah.
And it made me very uncomfortable
they
to watch
that. They even had a sex scene, and he, you know, where he seemed a little winded.
What did you say, Jen, when that was happening? Is he okay? What did you say? What did I say? No, you said, like,
I thought he was dying,
is he actually.
Oh, because
I thought he was choking.
No, well, we couldn't tell what was slipped into the bag of tea.
Oh.
And so I think you were saying it was poison, or you were saying it was something else. I was like, this is going to be terrible when he dies on top of her because he drank poison or something.
He was a little
like
winded during that session. Doesn't seem like
Vaselli
was up for the task.
But. By the way, like, speaking of Stan, I think he took a lot of risks, and like you were saying, maybe that's what his whole fear was about, was that everything was going to go off without a hitch. Like, why didn't Vaselli make his tea and pour the diamonds into the tea? What if he choked on the diamonds and died?
What if he found those diamonds before he could, like, set up the op?
Well, that's what the phone calls were for, to get people on his tail, I think.
I know, but what if he had, like, left, I don't know.
No, I think,
what if he went home early for the day?
What if he left the diamonds in the car or something and then never made it into the office? And then the people, I'm just saying.
That could have happened.
Who knew he was going to put it on his desk like that?
But the way that unfolded was, before he even got back, he was already making the calls.
Yes.
Once he got back, the second he got back, our girl Nina was like, come in here with me. So Nina, like, she distracted him and took him in a bedroom, and this all happened while they were.
Clearly, they covered all their bases, and that's what they're good at.
So
she even slipped in that little camera,
like he said. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was great.
I'm just saying, anything can happen, and some crap could have gone down, and he could have gotten into a car accident, or who knows. I'm just saying.
No, yeah.
Speaking car accidents, let's reverse for a second. I liked how Philip and Elizabeth, after they got, you know, tested, they just, let's not talk about it. Let's just drive our car right into that tree.
Like, more protocol. Yeah. Like, they just do these things.
I love seeing that. They don't talk about it. They just do it. And it makes you feel like they're superhuman, like, oddities or something.
Well, there's an answer for everything. Like,
they're
so embedded, and they're soldiers, and they have to have they know what their cover would be. Like, okay, we've got the crap beaten out of us. What can work?
I like that. I like that they do that.
Yeah. Like, you know when you see, like, a war movie and you see the soldiers kind of, like, signal to each other or, like, they file in line and, like, you know, one goes in and then the other one goes in and they just do what they do because they've been trained so well. There's no words.
It's fascinating, I think.
I think it's
fascinating.
Like, graceful and beautiful, as dangerous as it is and, like, terrible as war is. Like, something about it is very
beautiful. It's choreographed so specifically. It's almost like a dance, and it's fascinating to watch because this is real. It's real.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But anyway, sorry, I had to talk about that car crash.
The car crash was cool.
Yeah, poor Nina having to have the sex with Vaselli.
Right.
And Stan, I think you're right, Joe. I like that we're getting to see Stan really, like, you know, we see him at home philandering with his wife and not really keeping that promise in that area of his life.
No.
And in
by area, you mean the sex.
The sex in his marriage, in his personal
loving
life.
Loving her in general.
Right.
And just being a husband.
Right.
And I like that we're getting to see him take care of business at least with another, and specifically about another person's life.
Right.
Her life was in his hands, and he did whatever he could to make that, you know, to keep his promise and to keep her safe. Now we just need to start to see him, and we got a little taste of it with him at home with his wife.
Yep.
He gave her a little kiss. And then he rolled over to turn the light off. We thought, he's going to give her the back. And then they kind of cuddled. So we're seeing a little open door there, too. We're getting to see
Stan. The door's cracked out of its opening.
Or maybe he just unlocked it. Maybe not even open yet.
I think, you know, the whole Stan Nina thing is very, it's just very sweet. It's very endearing. Granted, he doesn't have a wife and he's cheating on his wife.
That's the problem.
Well, at least emotionally cheating on his wife.
Yeah.
But, you know, just to see him, you know, go through what he's going through and sort of fall in love in the way he's falling in love with Nina. And there's no indication at all that Nina's even going to reciprocate this at all.
Oh, yeah.
She probably has Stockholm Syndrome at this point.
I think she will.
Let me say something to this, though. It is kind of sweet, but it also, I think that it could be being used in the storyline because, you know, we always talk about the KGB and the FBI and how they're right at each other. Like, nobody's on top of anybody. They're right at the same starting point or the same part of the race. And I feel like Nina, and we did kind of talk about a distraction. Mm-hmm. This like slight obsession with her, maybe we could call it, it makes you feel like Stan, he could crack a little, like he could get in trouble. Like he went he took a big risk with her here. And I feel like it makes him feel a little less invincible than we think that he might be. And it leaves a little room in the story for maybe the KGB side to get a leg up.
Right.
Possibly.
I wonder if we're going to see, I mean, I've been really clamoring for some flashbacks from Philip, and it looks like in the previews we're going to get some.
Yes.
But hopefully it's just more Philip's backstory.
Yes.
But I wonder if we're going to see a little Stan's backstory, because they keep alluding to this whole, you know, white supremacist.
Yes. Yeah. I would love to see that.
And even in this, I think that was in the nice scene in the museum where he told Nina, like, I know exactly what you're going through, which it never occurred to me that, you know, that's what made me realize that, oh, he's going to keep his promise because he's been here. He's not just running her or working her as an FBI agent. He was just there where
he was in the trenches
undercover
too.
In the trenches. His life was in danger. Mm-hmm. He was doing stuff he wasn't supposed to be doing, you know, with people he didn't trust. So there was some real empathy there. And when he said, you know, I've been there. I know I'm not going to let this happen to you. Trust me. So I wonder as we progress with Stan's story, as I agree, I think that there's some vulnerability, some room for vulnerability there, some room for slippage there.
Right.
I wonder if we're going to be able to go back and see what happened to him. And how
I hope that we do, because I think that we need some explanation as to why he's going to stray from his wife, if he does, predicting that he will, without hating him.
Right.
Because she's done nothing wrong. It's not like she is, you know, not giving him attention.
I mean, she couldn't be sweeter.
She's trying so hard. So for him to stray, we need to know why, because otherwise we're just going to be like, he's an ass.
Yeah.
Right. Like, were you a philanderer?
Yeah.
But what I was going to say about your comment about empathy, that we, you know, that it shows Stan's empathy. The whole show just keeps hitting us over the head with the fact that these are all human beings and they are not in control.
Exactly.
They're not 100% in control. Everyone has feelings. If you're taught as a soldier, I'm sure, to like attack their sensibility. They did the same thing with the room of pictures of their children.
Right.
So there's always a way, an Achilles heel, to get to somebody.
Yeah.
It's just how you use it, like how Elizabeth has used her body and
which we know that, you know, men use their body as well, and men use sex.
Or just jewelry, apparently, and that's what it does.
Men,
so.
Well, that's because that's what turns us on, really. But, you know, we know that the sexuality is used. We had a viewer point that out, you know, on both sides of the party. But, yeah, I mean, I think that it's, you know, I completely agree with what you're saying.
But human error is what causes things human like the Cold War and the things like, you know, people's perception of things and your opinion or how you interpret something. That's what human is. It's being a human.
And we got a lot of we got a lot of that also when it comes to the kids. And we saw that it, you know, we have those moments where we see Elizabeth be very human when it comes to her children. And I questioned that when those kids did not get picked up, when her kids did not get picked up from the mall, and when they were with that guy, the creepy guy at the lake, I question if he was in on it.
Guy.
And I don't think that he was now that the episode's over. I don't think that he was. But that little girl, Paige, is very defiant, first of all.
Yeah.
And I thought this was a little interesting part of the story. Now, I'm still unsure as to why it was written into the story that these kids get picked up. She hitchhikes. I think I think I know why. I think that Paige is going to start to, like, rebel against her mom big time. And I think they're trying to lay the ground. I mean, they have been, but this, I mean, she was like a defiant little girl 100% this episode, hitchhiking, telling her, like, peer pressuring her brother into doing things that, I am sorry, but she, those things were like, any girl her age would be afraid to do those things. This girl is like, I don't care. She's right.
Well,
very
maybe
rebellious.
Not back in that day.
Well, yeah.
I don't know about that. I mean,
my take on that whole thing was, I think that, I don't disagree with you, but just my specific take on that, I think it's a couple things. I think that as a storytelling device, you have to, I think you, at some point, you do have to incorporate the kids. I mean, we keep going back to Homeland, but we saw this in Homeland with the whole Dana thing and the kids. And I mean, kids just can't be in the background as cardboard cutouts. So we want to see something happen with them. They have to be somewhat developed.
But why this?
Well, why
so
this?
Specific.
So there's a couple things that stick out for me. Number one, it is, you know, sort of atmospheric, meaning
a sign of the times.
Atmospheric, yeah, meaning it's a period piece. The fact that, you know, Mad Men used to do this stuff a lot, you know, when Dan Draper's throwing, you know, garbage on the side of the hill and he's doing stuff that you wouldn't do, you know, now. Back then in 1981, you could, kids were hitchhiking. That was, I mean, your 13-year-old.
Well, wait, isn't it like 1984?
It's 81. 81.
Really?
1981.
Okay.
Reagan just got elected. 81.
Okay.
And that's when he got shot.
Okay, yeah. Right.
But it's, so they're hitchhiking, which is, you know, it is what it is. And
it feels more dangerous for us to watch that.
Right.
But even the hitchhiking guy, he called it out and was like, have you done this before? You know, it's kind of dangerous.
Like, and it is dangerous. And that time there was a big awareness campaign of like, kids don't hitchhike or don't do this. But it was still very, very common. Okay. All through the late 70s.
They must be calling out the fact that that's an American thing.
I think, you know, I think it's partly atmospheric, right?
Yeah,
and then I think it's going to serve its purpose to develop these kids as characters. Because I think that what happened there, you saw a lot of things happen. You saw their dynamic as brother and sister, right? You saw him stick up for her. Mm-hmm. You saw her being a little defiant and
now they lie.
Stuff. They actually lied and didn't tell. And then this is a little secret that they have.
It's kind of like just like their parents.
Right.
Exactly.
So
it's paralleling.
There's a little
them.
Parallel of what they're going through. And I think that we'll see, you know, one of my predictions will be, I don't think we're going to see the last of this guy. You know, I think that this is their secret because they kept it as a secret. I mean, this guy may turn up again and they may have to, like, who
did
knows?
Did they say where they lived? Because he was obviously dropping them off 10 miles away.
Who
so
knows?
I mean, it's a 10-mile radius. This guy's coming up down the street. They're kids. I mean, we'll see how this develops. But I just think it's a device to get the kids involved.
I agree.
It's a secret that they're keeping. That secret, I guarantee you that secret will
is
come
gonna
up
get
again.
Unsurfaced again.
Yeah, I guarantee.
And we all talked about how, you know, Philip and Elizabeth are spies and their kids just lied straight to their faces. And I mean, granted, you can't tell from one sentence if someone's lying, but if
they probably can from your eyes, because Philip said to Elizabeth, I can see you're lying.
I know, but that was in a really emotional, you know, they had been talking for a couple minutes about it. This was like, how'd you get home? So-and-so dropped us off. Done and done. Like, you're lying,
but
you know.
We saw that Elizabeth reaction. She was like, oh.
Yeah, there was a little reaction there, but we'll see if that's
I don't know if you've ever been to Israel, but in the airport there, actually, in, like, JFK, let's say, before you're going to Israel, they have people from the Israeli, like, area, LL, saying, like, why are you going to Israel? And they ask you questions like, do you have a bathing suit with you? Like, they ask you the most bizarre, easy questions, but they know if you get those wrong or if you do a twitch or you look the wrong way, you know, they know you're lying.
That's true. I'm sure that they're, you know, they're always on Philip and Elizabeth, so nothing will probably get past them, but we'll see what happens. But yeah, I was kind of wondering, you know, in the storyline, and I'm sure you viewers at home as well, and, you know, tweet us and let us know what you were thinking about or go on iTunes and rate and comment while you're online.
And we really appreciate your comments.
We've read them all. We thank you guys.
There's so much to talk about with the Americans. And there's definitely, like we always say, things that we miss or interpret differently than you might. So we love hearing how you guys see things or even little historical facts that you point out.
Right.
We love hearing that kind of stuff. So please keep going on iTunes. Tell a friend. It only takes a minute. Keeps the lights on for us here. And, you know, let us know what you're thinking. But I was really curious to see how that was, what you guys thought about that in the storyline.
Well, like I
agree with you, Joe.
You got to give the kids something new. We saw a little bit of it when we alluded when Reagan got shot. You saw a little bit of a Paige's boyfriend, the Secret Service, who had the Secret Service dad, which we know will resurface at some point.
Oh, yeah.
We're seeing a little bit about the son. We got to know a little bit more about the son other than he has a nice 80s haircut, you know.
He's so cute. So now
he's done something. And there was also a little tender moment where he said he had an accident. And she's like, I'll take care of you.
That was sweet.
There is something there that we're going get a we had to flesh those characters out a bit.
I think that like something about them though, they were born in the United States, weren't they?
Yeah.
So they're Americans.
Yeah.
Oh, they're Americans.
They're Russian Americans, but they're Americans. Oh, they're born here.
They don't know that they don't know.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So I think that we'll also probably see some differences between them and their parents.
Oh yeah, well 100%. I think that you know, I agree that it was atmospheric, the hitchhiking and all of that. It was so detailed, this guy and picking them up and the beer and all this.
I had anxiety straight through it.
Good storytelling.
I think to me, what really stuck out just to end the whole thing is that this little girl falls into peer pressure, goes with the flow.
She's 13.
And she just kind of drank beer. It's going to be a huge problem between her and her mom. But I also think that if Philip and Elizabeth ever get in trouble and these kids are left on their own, it's interesting to see how they work together.
Right.
Or what's going to happen if they do need to end up fighting for something. So, yes, I think that was all just subtly put in there. It's just that the way they did it was so specific, I was questioning.
Yeah, I was like, what direction are we going with the storyline? Is she going to get raped and then Philip and Elizabeth are going to go bananas on this guy?
Right.
But I almost expected Paige to become a ninja. I was like, it must be inherit. She's going to all of a sudden ninja this man.
She's going to like...
Which is why I was very cool that it was actually
the brother
that came
through. Henry
came through, dude.
Henry with the bottle.
Good old Henry in the bottle, smart cookie.
Run.
Yeah.
I do want to say really quickly though, remind everyone that we have our wonderful movie Serial Buddies is coming out this Friday. That is like 2 days away. Mm-hmm. It's coming here. It stars it's produced by Maria Menounos, our lovely founder, and Kevin Undergaro, and it stars a lot of people: Beth Bears from Two Broke Girls, Artie Lane, Kathleen Gifford, Christopher Lloyd,
Maria.
Maria, of course, has the voice of my hero, the Fonz himself, Henry Winkler, and Christopher McDonald. So it's really funny. It's like a Dexter meets Dumb and Dumber. It's opening in select cities. Let's see, L.A., Chicago, San Francisco,
New York,
Boston. So get your tickets. You can get your tickets online at SerialBuddiesTheMovie.com. Actually, I'm sorry, AdventuresOfSerialBuddies.com. That's AdventuresOfSerialBuddies.com. Get your tickets. When you support the movie, you're supporting AfterBuzz and all of our hosts and all of our people here. So please check it out.
It's going to be a good one.
And tweet us. Let you know what you think.
Yes.
Let us know what you think.
This episode, just to wrap this all up, and we always have, you know, the KGB versus the FBI.
Right.
I think they're right at the same part of the race, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting to see if they might find a little crack with Stan, but we did just shake up the Russian side a little.
We did.
Here too.
On the FBI side, we just really saw just Stan run that solo op and do his thing, which is great. We saw that. On the KGB side, we saw them get rid of Vasily. We saw Jim turn his office, get rid of him, put him on a plane, and like Nina said, if they even suspect that you're
done.
They'll put you on a plane and then they'll try you and you'll be done. So we know what's going to happen to poor Vasily. So he won't be. At least, what a way to go, though.
Well, at least he got to have sex with a hot lady.
Yes.
Yep. I wonder what's going to happen to him. Obviously, we can talk about that in predictions.
Oh, he's gone.
No, he's gone.
He's gone. I think we'll never see him again.
He is not coming back in this story. I'd be surprised.
But that does open the door for a new resident KGB guy.
So it does.
A new resident has to come in.
So who is our Katie higher than him?
Who?
The other guy.
No.
Oh.
No.
He just led the inspection on him?
Yes. I think in episode 2, they alluded to that. Like, he's like, I'm running things. He's like, well, I got to make sure you're running things right. Mm-hmm. I'm here, you know, I'm here to sort of, I think.
Checks and balances.
I think that whoever is running, you know, I think even the people in charge don't know what some of the other people are doing. I think that there's little pockets because they want to keep things compartmentalized in case of moles and things like that is how I take it.
Right.
You know what, though? What's interesting is Vasily did say when he was getting interrogated and they were searching his office, he was like, I understand this is a protocol. You have to do what you have to do. But go ahead. Look around. It's fine.
Yeah.
Granted, there were things planted.
It's not like you're going to find diamonds in a microphone.
No.
And there's no
but he knew what was going
to
happen.
I know, but there's no way for them to teach you how to get out of how to explain that that's planted. Why would you think I would do that? I mean, he can't. They give you every training tool. I mean, maybe he's not as highly trained as the spies. You know, he's just whatever. Right. But I just whatever. It was interesting to see him kind of fold under pressure right there. And that's,
he also, though, what's interesting is knew the protocol. Like, he knew that they were going to an interrogation. They were going to,
of course,
look around.
But he wasn't worried until the diamonds came out.
Right.
He wasn't worried
until
then.
Why wouldn't Elizabeth and Philip know that they would do some kind of test? test to see if there's a mole somewhere. Well, they knew about the mole.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I question. I know that it pissed Carrie Russell's character off. Yeah. Right. And I know that she snapped because this is her life. But I'm saying there is a flip side of it to think like, hey, sure. This is par for the course. This is part of the game,
honey. So you're siding with Instagram on this one.
I'm not.
No.
If you're running this operation, you would order the same thing.
No, I am not. I wanted her to kick the crap. Right. I was like, yeah, get her. She annoys me. And she's like, I get where Carrie Russell's coming from, or Elizabeth. I'm just saying they're also on the flip side. I mean, shoot, this is, sorry, honey. Well, this is what happens. You got raped and you don't see, she doesn't even care about that. Right. She's just like, oh, well, whatever. He raped me. Well, oh, well, that's how it goes.
There's tests and there's tests, right?
They didn't have to kick the crap out of them. They could have maybe like done a different test.
Like she said, you came to my house. You took him out of my house.
Yeah.
And then, you know, old Margot Martindale comes around the corner like, sorry, guys.
Ugh, she was so annoying.
You know, so.
No, I get, I'm just saying. But, you know, and then again, back to the KGB and the FBI, I feel like we're at an equal playing field right now. Usually I feel like we're kind of on the same level, and here we're definitely ending that way too with this episode. So we'll it'll be interesting to see who
wins,
who
just
gets
kidding,
ahead,
we know.
Who gets ahead in the next episode.
Well, we saw in the previews, and I think it was this season on, I think we saw a little more than just next episode.
They told us that because I was like, oh, I kind of want to know what else is happening.
Yeah, well, we saw where it looks like there's going to be, you know, the FBI guy say, we're at war and we've lost people and we're going to get revenge.
A house blows up.
It looks like, I mean, whose house is that? Was that their house?
Who knows? This could all be in the next episode because they clearly cover a lot of ground, but I think it felt like it was through the span of the next couple episodes. So it's definitely getting good.
Yep.
Do not miss the next episodes, people. We're getting very intense here. All right, well, why don't we move into some news and gossip, shall we?
AfterBuzz TV News.
So, news this week, another interview, Carrie Russell. You know what? It's actually funny. There's not really a lot of Matthew Reese interviews out there.
Well,
And I kind of like that about the two of them because it makes me feel like they're like trained actors and that's what they do. They're not about the drama. They're not about the gossip. You know, the most we find on them is like Carrie Russell talking about Dark Skies and talking about the Americans and like what a day in her life is like.
Right.
So she basically says that she's either working on the Americans or she's hanging out with her kids.
Nice.
There's not a lot of time for working out. That's really all she does is these fight scenes and then hang out with her kids. And they go into talking about her physique and saying like, okay, you know, how do you stay in such great shape then? And she's like, well, I do Tracy Anderson videos in my closet secretly.
First of all, I do Tracy Anderson. She must have a really big closet because you got to jump all over the place.
That's what I thought, too.
And get in really weird positions on the floor and lift your leg like, over your head and touch your shoulder. It's really hard. And I can see that makes sense because she has an amazing body. Tracy Anderson's a good workout.
Well, she also says that she wishes that she loves her body now, but she wishes that she actually had her 21-year-old butt.
Oh, boo-hoo, Carrie Russell. Yeah.
Right. Like, we've seen you in these Jordache jeans. Yeah, we know what you look like.
You look fine, honey.
She also said that she loves the wardrobe, and she's learned some makeup tricks from being on the show, like some mascara and gloss concoction that makes your eyelashes super fab.
Oh.
And
Joe is really into that.
Yeah, Joe, you totally need some tips.
More about the mascara and gloss, please.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you want to know more about her makeup and skincare routine, you can go to the New York Times blog, actually. That's where this article is.
See? Top news in the New York Times.
Yep. Always. Exactly. And then also, she, again, was voted Who's Hot in LA this week.
Nice.
Her and Dee Snider.
That is a...
Dee Snider?
Yep.
Twisted All right. Sister.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're both 80s, I guess.
What?
He's on Celebrity Apprentice. He's on All Star Celebrity Apprentice. Like, so they're talking about him, I guess.
Okay. Okay. Must be trending on Twitter or something.
I want to rock. That's my Dee Snider.
That's good.
That was great.
I am very confused about that. But okay. Thank you, Jen, for that news and gossip.
That is all for the news and gossip.
I think we should, since we're all feeling like we're having so many, let's move into predictions. Let's just do it.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV.
All right, Joe, I know you alluded to a couple of predictions, so I'm going to let you start us off.
Well, I've got two. One I already spilled, but I think that you're going to creepy guy in the car, we're going to see him again.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he got a bottle to the head. He will see him again. How that plays out, what happens, that secret will not be kept. You may see Matthew Rhys whoop his ass as usual, or Kerry Russell whoop his ass. But somebody, he's going to ask whooping by somebody. I know that much. That's going to happen. But what's more intriguing, which I'm looking forward to, is Margot Martindale is going to be pissed that she got the crap beat out of her. And that's a tough broad. So that's not going to sit well with her.
Right.
And that's their boss. So I predict that there's going to be hell to pay for that ass whooping she got.
Yeah. Okay.
I think there's going to be a whole lot of chaos, and maybe just because I saw that in the previews. But obviously we've got some trust issues going on internally with the KGB. We've got, you know, some KGB on American fighting happening with some house blowing up. We don't know whose house it is, but it's going to be interesting to see how this all turns around, because they can't trust anyone, not even each other anymore. And Nina, we think, is scot-free, but I don't think she is.
Yeah.
It's only a matter of episodes, I think, before she's axed.
Yeah. I think that Nina, for sure,
is,
you know, she's definitely attractive.
We don't deny that.
Yeah. She's very sex pot-ish, but I think that they're trying to make us think that, like we said, the door is closed on her. Like, okay, look, Stan, say, no, I think something's going to come out of nowhere, and I'm predicting something bad with Nina. I don't know if they're going to kill her, because I think that Stan needs her around a little bit more for his emotional, you know. And I think that we are going to discover a prediction about, obviously, about Philip and his past. And I think that this is going to drive Kerry Russell, Elizabeth's character, into more like a jealous rage.
Oh, because they showed him with his former love.
And I think that that's going to definitely be a problem. And I completely agree with you. That guy, the kidnapper, the hitchhiker guy, is going to come back. And I think then Elizabeth and Philip are going to find out what really happened to the kids. Like, maybe he's going to file a police report, or who knows what he's going to do, and they're going to find out, and then, you know, or he's going to get caught with some other kids and put on the news, and somebody's going to, you know, Henry will spill the beans, or something's going to happen. And
yeah,
and
that's not done, that storyline. It was too intense.
The parents
to
are going
to
find out about what really happened that day, and then there's going to be some repercussions.
I think they may even teach them how to defend themselves.
Maybe.
And then they'll be like, Howardy, you know how to do that, Mom.
Because, just really quickly, because there's one last key here. We talk a lot about the spy, talk about the relationship drama, but we don't talk a lot about is the fact there's parenting to be done in the middle of all this, too. So they are parents. You know, they're husband and wife, and they're spies, but they're also parents. So it'll be interesting to see them as parents.
And I think that was part of that. And that's going to cross over, I think, with that. So that's going to be really interesting to see.
It kind of also showed, though, how the KGB sort of, like, doesn't care about their family at all.
Oh, no.
They're just pawns in their game, too.
Well,
so they left their kids stranded. They didn't care. They didn't say, hey, we have you for 10 hours. Where are your poor children?
No, yeah. Oh, no, they don't care. These people are plucked away at 13 in Russia to be trained like soldiers and raped and whatever you have just to make to go to America and find out a little piece of information. And then if they stray off the path, they just shoot them in the head.
Right.
Nobody cares about that. Yeah. So anyway, it's getting real good, guys. We are so excited to watch the next episode. We hope you are, too. So please tune in next time. And I am Lauren Leonelli. You can find me at Lauren Leonelli on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and my website.
You can find me at Jen the Jew on Twitter and Instagram, and also JenniferGolden.com is my website, and Jennifer Golden on Facebook.
You can find me on Twitter at Joe K. Braswell. You can find me on the following AfterBuzz show, and the Justified AfterBuzz show, and on Grantland.com, my series on ILM and Lucasfilm and Star Wars and the Avengers. It's continuing. New one comes up tomorrow. Grantland.com.
That's right, guys. So next week we will see you. Thank you so much for tuning in and watching.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.